You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In case you haven't noticed, winter is upon us, and you may think there isn't much that you can do about your plants or your garden right now, but fear not, because Gerard Lordahl, Director of Open Space Greening Program at Grow NYC, is here to help us out. And if you have a question about your winter garden, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our show page or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Hi, Gerard.
Hi, Leonard.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Same here.
I have a personal problem. I bought a live potted tree that I use as a Christmas tree, a fir.
Right.
A little baby tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now that the holiday's over, I would love to plant it outside, but the ground is frozen, and I wonder what I should do. How long can I keep it inside?
The live trees that a lot of your listeners choose to use for the holiday need to go outside after a couple of weeks indoors, or you will lose them. So these are trees that have roots that generally. The best way to do it around Halloween and Thanksgiving is to dig your hole then in anticipation that you're going to have a live rooted tree before the ground freezes, and then mulch it over so that now you could come back and just remove the leaf mulch and then plant your rooted tree.
Well, I haven't done that, Gerard.
Right.
Now what?
So now you have to get a pickaxe, Leonard, and you have to get some of your friends. And you have to get them to break through. The good thing is that it won't be that bad because the ground is not that frozen. I was in my own Brooklyn backyard, and there's only a small top layer. You're not going to have trouble digging a hole. So when you do that, make sure the hole for your roots are as deep as the existing root ball, but twice as wide.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep the root ball slightly higher when you put the plant in the hole, because there will be some settling. You want the roots to be at the same level that they were growing in the nursery, so that same soil line level. And then that extra room all around the ball, you could fill with some good compost. I know you're an avid composter, so you could add some of your compost and topsoil to that, and then pack it down. Water it well. Even though it's wintertime, your listeners need to know, during these mild spells, it's a little cold today, but yesterday and the day before it was 50, approaching 60, go out with the hose and water your perennials, your evergreens, because they will suffer through the winter if they don't have moisture and if the snow comes.
Now, you mentioned mulch. A lot of people who have a little outdoor space have a lot of leaves still, dried leaves still sitting there. Do I have to chop them up?
It's better if you shred them, but you don't have to. But the thing about mulch and compost is that the leaves that you add need to be well rotted. So it takes a while for those piles of leaves to really decompose and to provide those nutrients to your garden. So we often recommend adding the brown and the green. That's what we call them, the brown and the green, to your compost. But it has to be a well rotted compost pile that's been sitting around for 6 months or so before you put it in the garden. So the winter is a good time to add your food scraps, nothing, no meat products, your leaves, your grass clippings, all those things to your compost piles so that once the spring comes, it's well rotted after sitting for a couple of months.
In Florida, they put burlap sacks over certain plants when they're fearing a frost.
Right.
Does that work?
Yes. We do it here in the Northeast also. Burlap is a good winter protection. People on terraces that get a lot of wind damage, they'll put up burlap screens to prevent winter wind from desiccating or drying out your evergreens like your holly and rhododendron on terrace gardens and things like that. Burlap is also the biodegradable material you find in the root balls of your Christmas tree. Most likely, your Christmas tree is wrapped in burlap. Now, there are some new technology wraps that need to be removed, so make sure it usually say on the bag, remove this before planting, because it's made of plastic, and you may end up putting the tree in the ground in basically a big plastic bag, and the roots won't be able to penetrate as much. Speaking of mulch, Your listeners should be aware that there's the big Mulch Fest coming up. And
there's a Mulch Fest?
There's a Mulch Fest. And if you have holiday Christmas trees without roots that you want to add to the municipal mulch pile, beginning January 4th, you could bring your Christmas trees to about 60 parks around the city. And on January 11th and 12th, that's the official Mulch Fest, where they'll be chipping these trees, and then you could bring your own bag and take mulch back with you to your home.
Although I heard that, I think it's the Department of Sanitation, is requesting that people start putting their trees out today. Although they want you to make sure you don't leave any tinsel or bulbs or anything else on them.
Right. So there's two things. Sanitation will pick up your trees. They want you to remove all ornaments and lights. That would be for your regular curbside pickup. But then if you would like your Christmas trees to go towards mulching plantings in the parks, or if you'd like mulch from your own Christmas tree, you could bring them to one of the 60 parks around the city. And on January 11th and 12th, they're going to be giving out this mulch. So it doesn't go to the landfill.
Norma in California wrote us and said, I have a number of orange trees in my backyard, which were tweaked by our recent frost. My neighbor said that I can protect them in the next frost by stringing the tree with Christmas lights and running them when the temperatures drop. Is she crazy or onto something?
Now, wait,
something?
Did I miss that? Did you say this is a New Yorker?
No, this is a Californian.
Yeah. No, in California, the climate is very different. We're in Zone 7A. The United States is divided into these different zones according to our lowest average winter temperature. And for us, our lowest average winter temperature is 0 to 5 degrees Fahrenheit. And orange trees can't survive, but apples can survive because they can take the frost. So for people in California, it's a whole different scenario because they have Zone 8 where they never get freezing. So orange trees do well there.
But she asks if you could put Christmas lights on them to keep them warm when there is a frost.
There is a certain amount of heat that comes off of holiday lights, and it actually does cause some damage. But I don't think it's going to be sufficient to prevent your orange tree from being frostbitten.
I've always wondered why avocados can grow in our area, but they don't produce fruit.
And they don't grow outdoors. In the wintertime, they'll freeze. People could grow them indoors on their windowsill. That would be fine.
What about plants in the ground here that have been stressed by cold weather? Is there anything you can do to help nurse them back to health, or do you just have to wait for spring and hope that some will have survived?
Like I said, your listeners can take precautions now when it's still fairly mild. And as you will soon discover, your soil is not frozen yet. Because you could not thoroughly all the way down, you could continue to water. So on the days where the temperature does go up, water the ground, water your garden, and this will help your plants get through the season. Use burlap screens, as I mentioned. There are some desiccants, anti-desiccants, that actually some gardeners like to spray on their broadleaf evergreens like rhododendrons and things like that to prevent them from drying out. Mulching is the key. Put 4 to 6 inches of mulch on your sensitive plantings after the ground freezes, and that will help insulate, create like a blanket of insulation. The damage that comes in wintertime is the fluctuation in temperature of the soil. So actually, snow can be a very good insulator. If we get heavy snowfall this winter, that'll actually help insulate the soil, and the roots of the plants will be more consistent in temperature. And it's not so much the snow that causes the damage, it's the fluctuation in temperature. The other thing is for your listeners to know, go outside on a heavy snowfall and remove, shake off the snow load that might be on your evergreens, because that causes a lot of breaking and damage. So with a soft broom, with your evergreens especially when the snow is mixed with ice and it gets very heavy, there's a lot of damage, as we know, in these winter storms.
My guest is Gerard Lordahl, Director of Open Space Greening Program at Grow NYC. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Let's take a couple of calls, beginning with Ken from Park Slope. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, Ken. What's the problem?
Hi. How are you? I just have some indoor plants, potted plants, and I'm getting burnt ends on the leaves of my spathiphyllum.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, also on a jade plant, some of the stalks just keeled over or dropped all their,
okay,
their little
as a
loads.
General rule, for the listeners, houseplants, most of our houseplants are tropical, like the holiday poinsettias and the Christmas cactus and various other, your spathiphyllum. The peace lily is a very common houseplant, tropical also. It likes high humidity. It does not like when the soil dries out. And the brown edges on the leaves, I'm not sure. I haven't seen your plant. But my guess is that it's from a period of time when it didn't get water. And the first part of the leaf that will go is the edge. That's the furthest away. So you might have caught it and watered it. So keep it evenly moist all the time because it is tropical.
No, but how close should you keep a tropical plant to your radiators?
Radiators are a problem. Any appliance that gives off heat is a problem, so you don't want to have your plants near a window that has a heavy radiator underneath it that's constantly blowing up, you know, drying air, desiccating air. Or an air conditioner in the summertime causes the same problem. So people will often put trays of water or stone on top of the radiators, and that will help create humidity that'll prevent the plants from drying out as much.
The weather in New York has been rather erratic recently. Does that confuse plants? We've gone from cold to 60s,
right. It's
and
been crazy.
Now cold again.
2 years ago, if you remember, in March, we had that crazy warm snap in 2012. March of 2012, a lot of our peach trees and nectarines were going into flower very early, which caused a lot of havoc for the fruit farmers because they were susceptible to being hit by frost. For our area, generally, the frost-free date is about mid-April. But sometimes we'll actually have cold snaps later than that. And that does cause a havoc with plants because they're starting to go into bloom. And the most vulnerable buds on the trees and our early spring plants aren't able to deal with that cold snap. And that could cause damage to fruit, vegetable. The farmers that grow our fruits and vegetables in the spring often have to deal with that early frost snap, which can really damage the crop for the rest of the year. So these are issues. The weather is an issue, and it does create havoc.
Even with indoor?
With indoors, it's, you know, you have a controlled environment. Our apartments are about 70 degrees, and there's about a 25% humidity.
Yeah, but light changes.
Light is the biggest issue for indoor gardeners, so they often have to supplement with plant lights and grow lights. But the biggest thing indoors, in fact, people ask often about orchids, is the humidity. So when you transfer your plants from outdoors to indoors to keep them through the winter, you want to make sure that you cut them back. They're not going to grow as much. You don't fertilize in the winter often when they're indoors, but you want to give them as much sunlight as possible, early morning or afternoon windows or even a southern window.
Maybe this is a silly question. Do you cut them back outside or inside?
Either way, if you think they might have pests on them, you could do that outdoors. But for those people who got poinsettias as holiday gifts, after those modified leaves, those red leaves or modified bracts, whatever you want to call them, the red on the poinsettias are actually modified leaves, not flowers. The true flowers are the yellow. When they fall off, you want to cut back the poinsettia to about 6 inches and then grow it indoors as a houseplant. And they're short day sensitive, which means that if you want to get your poinsettia to bloom again, you would have to go through this procedure where you would restrict the amount of sunlight it gets for about a month, and then it'll bloom again. But you could grow it as a nice house plant.
This time of year, there's no problem restricting the amount of sunlight a plant gets.
Exactly right.
My guest is Gerard Lordahl, Director of Open Space Greening at GrowNYC, grownyc.org. We are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. We are back with Gerard Lordahl, director of the Open Space Greening Program at Grow NYC. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And Gerard, you've handed me a booklet, or I don't know what we can call this thing, but it says it's Site Assessment for Better Gardens and Landscapes. Is this the time of year that we should be, because we're not planting or anything, that we should be thinking about where we can plant?
Exactly. And I brought the book as a reminder. With the winter solstice, we have these longer days, and the garden, of course, is going to rest through the winter. So planning for your garden is important to do now. A lot of us are buying our catalogs for the spring selection of vegetables and flowers. But planning is important if you're a new gardener, if you're an established gardener, a home gardener, a community gardener. Many of these publications, I use this workbook from Cornell, actually, University, on site assessment, because it talks about how you should, before you're looking at your garden, think about whether you have underground utilities to deal with. Think about the amount of sunlight that your space gets. Think about the plant selection. Think about whether you want to put in a rainwater collection system or a bioswale or a rain garden. Think about using permeable pavement or downspout planters, maybe a green roof. So these are all things to think about in the wintertime before the spring comes, when you're so busy you can't really think about planning.
Amy in Manhattan wrote to ask, if you want to plant a tree but haven't pre-dug a hole and the ground is frozen, could you pour hot water on the spot and then dig? If so, how hot should it be if you don't want to kill beneficial insects and worms? Or is that a concern?
It is a concern, because you will lose whatever might be growing there with scalding hot water. But yes, if you go out now, Amy has a good point. You can go out. You can try and thaw the thin layer that might be frozen. Although, as I said, as of yesterday, it wasn't bad at all. And this time of year, you generally are able to dig down. So it's just a matter of getting through maybe an inch or so if it's frozen at the top. As far as the warm water goes, go with, tepid to cool water. That will also
It'll
still be
there.
Warmer than the frozen ground, and that's a good suggestion. It's not recommended to dig in wet soil, but you could, go ahead with this process. And the insects and microorganisms are starting to go dormant as well. So chances are they're a little further down in your digging area, but you may end up losing some insects from the water issue.
Jane asks on our show page, I bought a 24-inch wreath constructed on a heavy metal frame and mechanically clamped around the balsam twigs.
Right.
How can I recycle this thing?
Okay, good point. We did lots of workshops up in the Bronx, and one of them was making wreaths from those very wire rims, and I know exactly what you're talking about. So what you want to do is remove, along with your ornaments and your lighting, any metal that you could recycle in your recycling bin before it goes to be mulched or put out on curbside. So you simply get some garden gloves and simply bend back that wire. It's very easy to use to bend back. And you could also use a wire cutter and remove the bundles of balsam branches or fir branches from that wire ring, and then recycle the wire ring and use your branches for mulch. It's a great habitat for birds. You could use the branches for the in the backyard for nesting for birds through the winter. Spruces are not recommended. So the spruce needles, they tend to drop their needles, and all you have are these branches. But the firs, like the common Fraser fir and the balsam fir that we use mostly, and the pines are excellent for this kind of winter habitat.
Let's take some more calls. Adrian from Astoria. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I've got a question about sedum. Actually, I have several questions. I'm going to go limit it to sedum.
Thank you.
When's the best time to cut it back? When's best for the plant? And when do you propagate it?
Well, which are you talking about, the ground cover sedum? There are lots of different sedums. The ones that are used on rooftop gardens? Are you talking about the Live Forever perennial sedum?
Live Forever.
Live Forever, yeah. Live Forever is a perennial. It's a succulent type sedum. And it pretty much has a great winter interest. It has a nice brown flower that you'll see now. And it dies back on its own for the most part. You'll see those stalks will start to turn brown and actually rot. But you could help it along. And in the spring, enjoy the winter interest of the brown flowers of the sedum if you have them. And then in the early spring, I'm talking maybe March or so, you could actually remove the old flower stalks and then you'll see the new growth coming up. Does that help?
Yeah, great.
Thank you for calling. And now we go to O'Brien. Hi, East Orange, New Jersey. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
My question is, thanks. Hi, how are you doing? My question is, for rose bushes, they're now dormant, and I've always been concerned as to when to cut them back or to prune them in the spring. I'm not sure when to do that.
Right. And actually, this is a good time. It's beginning to be the start of the time to prune things like roses. The problem is people generally don't like going out in the middle of a winter storm to do that. So as long as they're dormant, it's a good time to prune those shrubs that will not flower in the spring. So things like rose can be done now. Just don't prune things like lilac and forsythia because you'll be pruning off the flower buds. But in the case of roses, this is a good time through the early winter and late winter to prune back your roses to their canes to get through the winter.
Does it matter whether these are wild roses or hybrid roses?
Well, you do train the climbing roses different from the hybrid teas, but generally you want to prune back your roses to about 6 or 8 inches from the ground and leave that crown and allow that mulch the crown. If you have climbing roses, a lot of people will select the long climbers and then put them up against the ground or actually bury them in the ground to overwinter. But you do get damage from winter frost on roses, so it's best to prune them now while they're dormant.
Okay.
All the way to 6 inches from the ground?
Well, it depends on what kind of rose you have. If you have the hybrid teas, I like to prune mine back to about 8 inches where I have just 3 or 4 canes. I don't want my rose bushes overwhelmingly large and taking over the garden area. So I keep them small.
These are double knockout roses.
Yeah, so go back to any dead wood and keep them short and compact, and then you'll get new growth in the spring. Go online. There are a lot of good drawings on proper pruning of roses.
What about butterfly bushes, which grow very large, very quickly?
I know you love the butterfly bush, and that's a favorite of mine
as
well.
I'm just afraid there aren't enough butterflies these days to appreciate them.
It helps to plant them. So Buddleia Davidii, your listeners may know, is a butterfly bush. Treat it like a perennial, which means that I like to cut it back in the early spring to the ground. I like to cut it back 4 to 6 inches from the ground like I would many of my perennials. That will invigorate the growth for the year, and it'll come back. If you allow your butterfly bush to continue to grow, it gets a bit overwhelming, and it could be an 8-foot-wide shrub, 8 feet high, and I just don't have the room in my yard, so I treat it like a perennial, as do many of the community gardeners and homeowners here in the city.
My guest is Gerard Loredal, Director of the Open Space Greening Program at Grow NYC. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And a listener on Twitter asks, I live in Harlem. My terrace and windows face north and west. What flowering plants do you recommend? And I'm going to add to that another listener's comment. I'm tired of looking at my dead and empty window boxes. I'm on the 6th floor facing the river. What can I plant in them over the winter that will give me some color and not be killed by the harsh temperatures and wind?
Well, you know, some of these questions are very difficult in a New York terrace because there's not much that you could put that's going to survive the winter and be colorful. So that's the trick. Everyone wants color all year round. However, outdoors on a terrace, especially when it's high up, you get a lot of damaging winds. I will tell you that there are certain plants that can survive the harsh environment of a New York terrace. Things like Stelladoro daylily, which are excellent. They're short daylilies. They're related to the general daylilies that we see. They're very drought tolerant. They'll survive in many conditions. They don't get too big. So if you have planters on a terrace or a window box, these dwarf type daylilies will do well. English ivy is a vine. It's not colorful, but it often does do well on these terraces. And things like ground covers that will do well and provide color. I like liriope, which is turf lily, and it doesn't give you flowers all year round, but it's evergreen, and then you get purple flowers in the spring. So look for turf lily, look for day lilies, look for the Stelladoro day lily, look for English ivy. These are some suggestions for terrace gardens, but you're not going to get color through the winter.
Tara left a comment on our show page asking, I kill my rosemary every year in the winter. I've tried to bring it inside, but it soon dies. I've tried leaving it outside, and it dies.
Right.
Is there any way to overwinter a rosemary plant in New York City?
And many people are successful with it. You want to have a good size pot for your rosemary to overwinter it. The general rule is you want 3 feet of soil all around the roots of your plants in order for them to sustain freezing temperatures outdoors on your terrace. So you need large planters. Then with rosemary, people often put them on coasters, planters with wheels, and they'll have them out on a terrace that's not quite freezing but goes down to maybe 40 or 50 degrees, and they'll move it on those coasters into a sunny area of their terrace that isn't 30 degrees but might be 50 degrees, and that helps you the rosemary survive. Also, using that burlap screen might help.
Well, Matthew from Brooklyn has a rosemary question as well.
Well, rosemary's popular. We love rosemary. We love the smell. It has a tendency to last longer than the other herbs
indoors. And it tastes good on food.
Tastes good on food, roasted with chicken and fish. So, you know, put it in a large container. Make sure it gets good sunlight during the winter.
And Matthew, what's your question?
Hi, yeah, I have a rosemary plant. It usually does really well, but this year it got a downy mildew problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to get rid of it. I tried a milk and water solution, but that didn't work.
Right.
So I wondered if you had any ideas.
Yeah, well, one of the things you can do is try with these mildews, that's often from watering the splash of the spores from this disease off, or this fungus actually attacks the plant and it coats it like with a white powder type substance, and it feeds off of the plant. So avoid wetting the leaves. That's one thing. The other thing is you might want to look and see if you notice any of the fungus on the soil surface. You could gently scrape off the soil surface. Let the plant dry out slightly between waterings, and a dry environment is not conducive for this fungus. So those are ideas that might help cut down on your downy mildew problem without using any kind of chemical control. Check Gardens Alive also on their website, Gardens Alive. They have non-toxic ways of managing downy mildew.
A listener wonders if you could talk about the Boardwalk Community Garden in Coney Island, which was bulldozed by developers this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if Mayor-elect de Blasio has made any commitments to protect community gardens from destruction?
Well, I do know that having been involved with community gardens since 1986 here in the city, we go through these cycles. I've been on many protest lines fighting the bulldozing of gardens, and it's something that is part of the community gardening life here in New York City. We're constantly fighting open space and development. And as I said, I've been dealing with this for 40 years. I don't know what the new incoming Mayor de Blasio's issues will be regarding these, but I do know that if you go to the New York City Community Garden Coalition website, they are part of the protests. There's a public hearing this morning, actually as we speak, about the bulldozing. So if you go to NYC, New York nycgcc.org. They could give you all the information. From what I understand, it's if a community garden, the gardeners are saying if the community garden is mapped as parkland, then it's against the law to bulldoze the garden. And the developer, of course, is saying, well, you know, they have the right to develop. It's about necessary permits. And this garden was damaged in Superstorm Sandy. So that's what I understand the issues are right now. Both sides are fighting, and I think it's up to lawyers at this point.
Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Al from Westchester.
Yes, I received a large holly plant that I would like to put in the ground. When can I do that?
Okay. Where do you live?
In Westchester.
Westchester. Okay. Again, so like Leonard, who has a Christmas tree with roots that he wants to put in the ground, you want to try and plant that with the root ball. The hole should be as deep as the roots of the pod of the holly tree. And if it's an outdoor American holly or a hardy holly to put outdoors in the wintertime, then you should go out with a shovel, dig the hole, plant it, mulch it, water it, and keep your fingers crossed that the winter isn't so severe that it will kill it. If it's an outdoor holly, it should not be indoors for the winter.
On the other hand, not everybody can do that. Alan from Park Slope, Adam from Park Slope, hi, you're on the air, and you have to make it quick.
Hi, I had just a quick question. I have a small potted tree also, like the one you were describing, and no outdoor space to plant it. We do have a terrace, and I was wondering if there's any chance of keeping it alive in the pot for another year.
If it's one of those, I've seen a lot of the stores were selling during the holiday, the Alberta spruce, and again, they're usually in small pots. If you, what I said earlier is the key. You could put your small Christmas trees out on the terrace, but the key is to make sure it's hardy for outdoors, like the Alberta spruce, and the container should be 3 feet of soil all around the roots of that small Christmas tree. So you need a large planter box, and then you could plant that Christmas tree on your terrace. Make sure it's watered, give it mulch, and it should survive.
We have run out of time, unfortunately, and people have questions about bulbs and other things. Is there a way they can get in touch with you?
Yes, there is. And, you know, we send out information through the mail, and there are free publications you could send for. Go on our website. It's grownyc.org. We have monthly calendars of garden things that you can get. Also, we have a free green infrastructure publication if you're interested in rain gardens, and I could send you that. My email is glordahl, L-O-R-D-A-H-L, at grownyc.org. And if you send me a message, I'd be happy to send you the garden calendar or our green infrastructure pamphlets.
And Gerard, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thanks, Leonard. It's always a pleasure being here.